LOL.
OMG.
WTF.
FTW.
SMH.
IDK.
GTFO.
GTFO.
JK, JK. You're listening to the IRL Radio Podcast. It's radio in real life.
Three women.
Three women.
Three women.
Three radio stations.
Real stories. Real life.
I think this is episode 10.
It is?
We've been doing this for 10 weeks. You know what I was thinking is this is the only thing in my life that I do every week at the same time on the same day.
Oh,
isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess going on the radio.
Well, it's
we
good
do that.
Though. I mean, you're on the radio every day.
Yeah, at the same time
but
every day. But
adding to it, it just shows consistency.
I know, but it also kind of like freaks me out. I'm like, oh, it's been a week since the last time we did this. Like, time is going so fast.
Too fast while Melanie's out luxuriating. Welcome to IRL Oral Podcast, your girl La Loca.
And it's Katie.
Melanie is still Mel. Since she's not here, I could say it short. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, let's call her Mel while she's gone.
Her blood's going to boil.
I know.
But she is in Japan living her best life.
She's actually on her way back. She sent me another check-in. Do you want to listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, hang on.
What's up, ladies? It's me. I'm currently sitting on the airplane at... What? What? Oh, Sam wants you to know that we're sitting in business class.
Oh, you fancy.
We're at Narita Airport in Tokyo, getting ready to head back to New York. 12-hour flight, and then I'll be back at work tomorrow. But it's like 4 a.m. your time right now, 5 o'clock in Tokyo. So we're basically like in the future. But I can't wait to tell you guys all about my trip. And no, I did not miss work. All right, I'll see you on Wednesday. Bye.
I love how she threw that in. I literally feel like she's been gone for a year.
I know. It feels like forever. I'm like, every time I walk by her cubicle, I thought she said she was only going to be gone for a week.
I think it was like she took a total of 10 days off. She's been gone for a minute. I feel like I should have made a list of all the things I need to tell her when she gets back.
I know. There's been a lot happening. I mean, of course, your event. Which
oh
we
God.
Must talk about, please.
Oh my
spill
God.
The tea.
Yes. Oh, I meant to grab audio for that. I'm going to have to like insert some of that here. This is me interviewing Carrie Underwood.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep it going for Carrie Underwood. We are up close in country in Times Square at Opera City stage celebrating the release of Carrie's brand new album, Cry Pretty. Just wow. Can we take a minute and talk about Jesus Take the Wheel? Because this was off of your first album, Some Hearts, which came out in 2005. When was the last time you like went back and spent any time with that album?
I mean, it's a little weird to like, if you're like, I'm going to go back and listen to myself today, you know? But it's definitely something that is special. And so many of the songs, you know, end up in our shows and stuff now. I mean, obviously that one will always be with me, but like Wasted, Before He Cheats, like we always incorporate those because they're so important to my collection of music.
How often does it happen that you're like out at the grocery store and like one of your songs is playing? Like, do you ever catch yourself like with the cart walking down the aisle singing?
Maybe not singing. If anything, I'm just like, oh no, like because in my real life, if I'm at the grocery store, I'm just Carrie. And then if something ever happens that makes me like Carrie Underwood, then I'm like, I don't know what to do right now because I like wasn't ready for it.
I just want to get my groceries.
I'm just momming it, trying to like get dinner, you know. So and then it's like, I hope nobody notices me, you know.
Exactly. So along with the Cry Pretty album, you also announced the Cry Pretty 360 tour, which we're very excited. It's coming to Madison Square Garden next year. And I wanted to talk about this because recently you sat down with our very own Elena Smith from Nash Nights Live and talked to her on her Women Want to Hear Women podcast.
Right.
And you were talking about how, because you're having Runaway June and Maddie and Tay come on this tour with you, you were talking about how it should be a normal thing that there is a lineup of all women. And I feel like it has to feel really good to be in a position in your career to be like, we need a change and I'm going to do what I can do about it to help out.
Well, I mean, I feel like just normalizing things like that is definitely a step in the right direction. Because nobody thinks anything if there's like three dudes going on tour
exactly.
together, you know. And then I get like a lot of questions like, oh my gosh, you're having three females. Like, it's some risky, crazy thing that I'm doing. And I'm like, no, this is just going to be a really awesome show.
Yeah.
So
three amazing.
That's just kind of kind of step one. And they've all got new music out, by the way. So if you guys check out Friends Don't by Maddie and Tay, Runaway June's got new music too. Like, go check them out. They're just really talented, amazing, strong women. And I love that.
On top of the album release, you're celebrating 10 years as a member of the Grand Ole Opry this year. And I don't know if you guys know this, but next week, Carrie is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were just talking about how in 2005, that time was such a blur for you. Like, could you ever imagine that at that point in your life that, like, this is what it would have all led up to?
No, I mean, not even a little bit. I don't really know what I expected when I went out and tried out for American Idol. I mean, obviously, you want to, like, do a good job, but it just, I don't know. None of this would have ever really seemed like it was possible, especially from, like, really small town, you know, upbringing. I just always loved country music, always wanted to be a singer, but didn't really know how to do that. And that was my door. It was my bright, shining, beautiful, golden door that was open for me. And so many incredible things happened. And flashing back again to, like, when I was on Idol, like, talking to Ryan Seacrest about all the stars, you know, on the Walk of Fame, like, standing there looking at all of them. And now I'm going to have one. It's very surreal.
That was me interviewing Carrie Underwood.
Oh, that was amazing. I didn't hear not a damn lick of it, but yeah.
I don't know which clip I chose to insert to play there, but I hope that you enjoyed it. It was super fun to interview her. Oh my God.
Tell us about it, like, from the beginning to end.
I found out, like, a month ago that I was going to interview Carrie Underwood, but I couldn't tell anybody because we were doing it for her album release party. She released a new album on last Friday called Cry Pretty. It's amazing. I love it. But that was, like, by far and away the biggest interview that I've ever done. And we did it live in front of a crowd, but then also live on the radio, which is, like, a really crazy thing to do because I don't know how to describe it. You can't hear yourself. Like, I don't have headphones on or in-ears in, so I can't tell what anything sounds like. And there's, like, a crowd screaming, so I'm just talking and, like, hoping that it sounds fine. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing. She was so nice. She is so beautiful and just, like, her voice is out of this world.
What's her belly? I said, and with a gut full of human growing.
Yes, she's pregnant right now. She's got, like, a little belly. She's so tiny, I feel like it's kind of hard to tell. Like, I would guess maybe she's, like, 4-ish, 5-ish months along.
Mm-hmm.
But she was amazing. She was so nice. I had never seen her perform live before. And when she sang, it was just like, wow. Like, it's one of those things that looks so effortless. And you're like, oh my God, never in my wildest dreams could I sing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing. I'm kind of like, I'm really glad that it went well. But I'm really happy that it's over because the stress leading up to it, like, the night before, I, like, did not sleep at all. Like, I knew what I was going to ask her and stuff. I just had all these things going through my head. I was like, what if this goes wrong? And what if this happens? And, like, it was just one of those, I'm sure it was the same way when you talked to Janet. You were like, I'm just so happy that this is done and I can, like, breathe. Like, I kind of, like, after it was over, like, almost just started crying because I was so happy that it went so well. But then I was just, like, so relieved to have it done. But it was amazing. And I just feel very proud of myself.
You should.
Thank
you. Come on. When can you say, other than now, that you would have had a chance to sit there and talk to Carrie?
Dude, that's what I was thinking about. Like, my boss actually said to me, he's like, what were you doing in 2005 when Carrie Underwood won American Idol? Like, what were you doing? Like, we were just trying to figure it out. And I was like, I don't really know. And then I started thinking about it. And, like, 2005 was the year that my parents got divorced. And it was, like, a really shitty year. And I just remember feeling, like, really lost and really sad. And so, like, it kind of made me feel happy to know that, like, things would turn around and, like, you know, because I felt like I had no sense of direction and I felt like my whole life had just been turned upside down. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And now I'm like, everything worked out.
It's sure
okay.
Did.
Like, it really, my life is amazing. I'm so blessed and I'm very happy. And I just, I don't know, it's kind of a nice moment to reflect on that. But even 2 years ago, I had no idea that I would ever get the opportunity to do this. So it just kind of, I look at it in a good way and in a bad way because I'm like, you don't know what could happen to you in the next 2 years. I don't know where I could be. It could be really good or it could really be really bad. Like, I try to remind myself of that. Like, I've been really fortunate to have really good things happen to me in the last year and a half, 2 years. But also, like, to remember, like, it doesn't mean bad things can't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not to ruin a beautiful moment.
No.
But, you know.
But anything could happen. But at this moment, you just did something that your past would have been like, bitch, I would have never thunk it. But
yeah,
look, this is all the trials and tribulation. Now you have your moment of glory and happiness. Now set your goal for something else.
I know. I was like, well, now what do I do? But it made me feel good because I've never hosted something like that by myself. Usually my colleague Jesse is there and he couldn't be there on Friday, which I know he was super bummed about. But it made me feel good, like, oh, I can do this on my own.
Hell like, yeah, you can.
I know. I just like needed to do it to know that I could do it.
No, you don't need to do it. You need to just believe it no matter what. But now my question to you.
What?
How was her face? She keeps talking about this damn scar. Like,
yeah. Okay. So I actually went on our sister station, Bernie and Sid, on 77 WBC and talked about this too, because they were like, you know, she made such a big deal about it. So what happened is last November after the CMA Awards, Carrie was out walking her dogs and she was going up the front steps of her house. I'm literally telling you what I, not what I know from her, but like what I know from reading stories and watching interviews. She slipped and fell and she broke her wrist and she told everyone, hey, I broke my wrist. It's going to be a while before it like heals. And then like several months later, she let everyone know that she had also, when she fell, she hit her face and she had to have like between 40 and 50 stitches in her face. And she was like, I'm not ready to get back in front of the camera yet, but when I am, I might look different. So then like flash forward to the next award show. I can't remember if it was the ACMs. I think it was the ACMs. She comes out singing and she looks completely fine. She looks beautiful. You can't tell that anything has happened to her. And everybody's like, why'd she make such a big deal out of it? And I'm like, okay, well, let's think about this. As a woman, if I fall on my face and I have 50 stitches in my face, it probably looks horrific. Can you imagine if you had that many stitches in your face?
Okay, yeah.
Like right in the middle, all in your mouth, like right on like the center part of your face. It probably looks like Frankenstein. You know what I mean? Like, as it was healing, you're making a face like you don't believe me.
No, because, I mean, nowadays the stitching ain't that serious, and it's nothing but called cover-up, concealer, powder, whatever the hell you put it on your face. Like, I wouldn't even care.
Okay,
I'm opposite, because if I have a scar, I consider that a talking point.
Yeah.
Let's talk about my scar.
Right? So, in the middle of while all this was happening, so, like, her face is healing, and then everyone's got all this backlash, like, oh, she used that as an excuse. She had plastic surgery, which I don't think is true. She also just sat down. So, I talked to her on Friday, and on Sunday, she did CBS Sunday Morning, mm-hmm. and she told this really insane story about how, over the course of, like, between now and the beginning of 2017, she had 3 miscarriages.
Damn.
Before she got pregnant with this baby. So, I mean, she had 2 miscarriages. She falls, she breaks her wrist, she hits her face. She's like got this huge scar that she's like trying to cover up. She gets better. She has 2 more miscarriages, or she has another miscarriage, and then finally gets pregnant with this baby. And she like talks about in the interview. If you haven't watched it, it is unbelievable. She can't even hardly talk through the whole thing. She's like crying
mm-hmm.
because she's like, I kept getting pregnant and I kept losing these babies and I didn't understand and I was just having the worst year. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you feel for her. So, I think that she was going through a lot already. And like, I don't know. I think that everybody else made it more a bigger deal than it was. And everyone's like, she made a big deal out of it. And
yeah, well, she did, because I'm telling you, if you look on all these Instagram posts that they showed of her talking about the scar, like, oh, it's messed up, or she'll take pictures but not show it. Girl, just show it. Live with it. It's a character. Like, I'm telling you, I walked around with a chipped tooth for the longest. I got a missing tooth right now. You don't see me. I don't give a damn. I know,
but everybody's different. You know what I mean? True. Like, everybody's got their, like, one, you know, what they're worried about. But I don't know. I thought she was a doll. I had a lot of respect for her before this, and now I have even more. I thought she was really great. So, yeah, that was amazing. I'm really excited. I'll stop babbling about it now.
No, but now, since we talked about her scar, what's up with your hand? Because that I can't stop looking at.
Oh, my God. So, I have a brace on my hand because it was like almost 8 weeks ago. I had just moved into my new apartment and I was trying to open a glass jar all by myself. I was like, look at me. I'm a strong, independent woman here in my home that I pay for. And I was like, damn, I can't get this jar open. And my old roommate and her boyfriend live 4 floors above me. And I was like, I could go upstairs and ask Chris, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to open this. And so I like threw all my might into it and got the can open. And I was like, yeah. And the next day I was like, damn, my hand hurts. And I was like, oh my God, I sprained my wrist trying to open the stupid can because I'm mm-hmm. stubborn. And so I kind of ignored it. I was like, whatever, it's a sprain. It'll take a couple weeks to heal. Was like taking ibuprofen, icing it, whatever, and then stopped taking care of it. And now it still hurts. And it's been almost 2 months. So I stopped at Duane Reade and got a brace. And now I have to go see a specialist on Thursday to get x-rays because I think that I like tore something. So the moral of that story is if you're too stubborn, it will probably cost you $3,000.
Damn, your insurance ain't covering it?
We have the worst insurance.
Yeah, I know, but still, I'll grow a bill. Listen here, I don't care. Like, my knee is probably going to cost me, I don't know how much. Just add it to my other bills because there's nothing I could do. I want to get better, so bump it.
I know. Well, that's the thing is I'm like, kind of like, I'm finally feel motivated, of course, when I like, can't, like, want to go work out and stuff. And I'm like, well, I can only like run and bike and like do cardio stuff because this is so stupid. Yeah, so I have to go get that fixed. When's your surgery?
It's booked tentatively for November 16th, but as I'm in my negotiation right now at work, because I have reached my 30 days, okay. If I get my contract before the 16th and I'm going to schedule it beforehand because I'll feel good saying, you know, boom. But if not, then I'll do it during the holiday time because I wasn't going to come into Thanksgiving anyway. So,
but is it hurting you?
No, it's not. It's just awkward feeling when I walk. I can't walk fast. I can't run, but I can walk.
Yeah. If Casey missed it, La Loca tore her MCL and her ACL, right?
No, ACL and my meniscus.
I thought your meniscus was your MCL.
ACL. Is that MCL?
Well, yeah, there's the ACL, which is the big one. And then there's the MCL, which I think is the meniscus.
Whatever. You know the acronyms. I forgot.
I don't know.
Meniscus and ACL.
Oh, God.
Whichever one. It's two for one.
Yeah. If you're going to tear one, you might as well tear them both.
Yeah, you know, let's go in there. Just
so
get
what's
us
the recovery
bionic
time
knee
on that? Like,
huh?
What's the recovery time on that?
6 months, they say. 6 months Dang. For recovery. But 1 week down, and then they want you up, like going to therapy and stuff. So, I mean, they told me 2 weeks I should be down and not like really do anything crazy. But because I need to work, honey's coming back to work after a week. And plus, I hate being home.
Oh, my God.
In the
yeah
field that we're in, like if you're off the air, people will quickly forget about you.
Oh, yeah. You gone.
You know, like, and they get used to whoever's there. And then if anything, if your job offers the weekly, which in radio, it's our report card. If they offer a weekly every week and they see that there's a growth for whoever's filling in for you. And you ain't got a contract. And even if you had a contract.
Yeah, it's just not good.
They will replace you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't like to give. And it's not that I don't love every. I wish everybody a chance to do in radio. But if it's between me and you, I'm sorry. I'm going to go with me every time. You know? And some of us feel bad saying that. But I don't. I need my job. I got to pay my bills. So therefore, I'm not giving you a chance to be there more than a week. I'll give you a week tops. I'm back.
Yeah, every time I'm out, I always, like, I can't relax because I am paranoid. I'm like, why didn't you just let me voice track the whole week? It's fine.
Yeah.
I can't do that. That's not fair because then there's, like, nothing local and nothing updated, and I hate doing that, but.
They're used to it. They listen, tune into other stations that are always pre-recorded, y'all. Ask me, and I will tell you which ones they are. I have no shame because I'm probably on one of them. And yes, I am. Oh, this weekend I am. I'm voice tracking for I don't know how many markets. And people, of course, we do a great job at painting that you can't tell that we're not there because we keep it very generic. But
people,
you guys,
know.
That's the thing about radio. A lot of listeners, you are the reason why you guys always say, oh, we have Ryan Seacrest from other markets. He's from L.A., but he's on here and I don't like it. Why can't we have our locals? Because you guys don't want your locals. You guys always, oh, you don't tune in. And our portable people meters let us know when you tune in and tune out. And you'll be tuned in for Orion Seacrest, but you'll tune out for local Joe Schmo around the block.
So, yes, keep listening to this podcast, but also keep tuning in.
Yeah.
We have a lot of requests. We need your help.
Of course. Because now then I won't be able to interview artists, and Katie won't be able to interview artists. Like, today, I'm interviewing Vivian Green. She's a phenomenal singer and a good friend. So
I feel like I know her name.
I can't believe I said that.
She's a friend.
Yeah, she's a friend. Like, we chat about family, Mr. Tinder and stuff. And I think as time goes on, we're not going to be friends with every artist, but we are going to become friends with them that they're going to, you know, like my little Instagram friend that sent me a picture. I think he heard our podcast. He hasn't hit me back since.
Oh, my God. Well, that's kind of crazy that, like, that person listens to our podcast. But also,
do. I mean, you'd be surprised that so many celeb friends, so many celebs that follow you and me, they'll sit there and see how we are off the mic from the radio, because a lot of times, you know, we are very portable people, we are PPM friendly. And we get in
yeah,
and
we can't
out
talk a lot.
Yeah, we can't talk a lot and we can't really let our hair down. Here we can sit here and chat, you know, talk about your wrist, talk about your dating situation. Oh, you almost made me forget that. How's that going?
Come.
Oh my God.
Now my
Katie's boss
come
is coming in.
Grab John.
Hey, hold on. Get on the mic over here. This one. I want you on. Yes. John Fox is in the building. John Fox, he's joining our podcast today.
Yo, I got to say, this is pretty fantastic because I love you guys and I listen to this. And the fact that you actually invited me in this, I don't know if you actually force invited me
no.
in.
No.
Because I happened to be walking by the window.
Well, yeah,
this is a
you.
Big deal, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we
why?
Had Melanie's boss on. Dave came in the other day.
Yeah,
and now
my boss will
here.
Never get on. He's all the way in.
I mean, I'm already way more entertaining than Dave, though, like immediately just by saying hi, right? Whoa,
Dave,
listen,
Dave,
I love
you.
I love you.
Death, but yeah, this
no,
is
Dave
true.
And I, we do. We've kind of had, we have that romance in the hallways already, I think, here at the office.
And did he take your shirts?
No, he did take my shirts, but then I did win a fantastic suit jacket from him the other day, so.
You won it?
Yeah, well, because it was like, it was a side bet deal in the hallway, and.
Here's
well,
the thing about radio
I got
people.
The jacket's mine in the closet now, so.
Radio people gamble a lot. Like,
a
these
lot.
Guys up here are gambling about something all the time.
For real, I'm never in on it. I love to gamble, but I'm never in on
oh,
it.
Oh, we'll come in the studio now.
Yeah, come
it could
in.
Be anything. I mean, Mike and I will be out one time. We were out one night with a couple guys, and he was popping the pen. I'm like, oh, I bet you, like, you know, $100 you can't pop that into the glass. He's like, well, how many will you give me? You know, over under, next thing you know, I'm down $100 because he's just popping the pen right in the glass. So
yeah.
We'll bet on anything. We're
one time I was almost
terrible.
Involved in a $800
oh,
mini
no.
golf game.
See that? No.
Yeah.
No man.
But this would
have
been great.
Money.
And the game never even happened though. So we're down the Jersey Shore. Of course, it's after a big day of, you know, Jersey Shore festivities,
the
right?
On the boardwalk.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. You want to play $100 a person. So it keeps growing and growing. What do you think we did in between? Pizza, Drink, cocktail, yeah. Find yeah. someone else, another $100, pizza, cocktail, $100, $800. Everyone's like, all right, it's time to go home because it's 9 o'clock at night and we never played the mini golf game.
So I just walked around with a sack of $800 for like 2 hours.
Well, who got the money?
We gave
nobody.
All back.
Why don't everyone got it back? Oh. What are you guys talking about on the,
well,
on the,
we're
on
talking
the show
about
right now?
Katie's interview, which I really ignore that she's here.
Let's do that. We're going to talk about Carrie Underwood?
Yes. I want to know,
okay.
How does she do as a PD?
I got to tell you, man, from the outside, and here's the thing, and we're actually going to go through it this week, you and I.
Oh, we're doing an air check.
No, we
no,
are.
No,
we're
no.
going to go through
we're
the whole
do
thing.
It now.
I didn't tell Katie this yet, but we're going to go through the whole thing. I got to tell you, man, I kind of, when I knew this was happening, and then it was just going to be Katie, because Jesse was traveling and whatnot, I'm like, this is huge. Mm-hmm. And all I had in my mind is the vision of Carrie and Katie, and I'm like, this is just like, this is everything we've been waiting for. But no, Katie's tremendous. I mean, she really...
Thank you.
This is one of the biggest things. I mean, think about it. You come into, you know, a radio station in New York, and yeah, being on the air, yeah, doing all these things. But the one thing that sometimes people forget about is the amount of celebrity that you get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know who you're going to wind up talking to. And really, the fact that Katie's been able to sit down with Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, Carrie Underwood, Florida Georgia Line, Dirk Bentley, Brett
Huge
Eldridge,
names.
Maren Morris. I mean, shall I keep going?
No,
Miranda Lambert. Hold on. Kix Brooks walks in the studio.
Kicks
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And the fact that when Katie gets in front of an artist and with an artist, you think, I sat there and it's like, okay, these two have been friends for...
Ever.
God knows how long, you know, until they wind up coming on stage. But no, Katie did a great job. You could check it out. Can I say the website here?
Yes,
on this thing?
Please.
Yeah,
share
yeah NashFM947.com. There's some photos. There's all kinds of other stuff, too. You know, click through our social feed over there, some videos and everything. But it was just amazing. But then when you have the two, like, you know, bombshells of country, Katie and Carrie.
Yes,
and
that's the number one country.
Are you kidding me?
Yay. Number one country. The most listened to country station in the country, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, out of the country music format. So,
yeah.
Totally. It's awesome. And,
but
you know, Katie's,
accurate.
How long have you been here now? About a year and a half?
A little over a year and a half.
It's awesome. Time. I mean, look at her. She's a star of the format.
Level up.
She's, you know, she's a big deal. And of course, you know, lots of love to Jesse Addy. But I got to tell you, there's one thing, too, that's super unique about our radio station. I shouldn't say really unique, but something that's really cool is the family off the air behind the scenes, just like you guys in the hallway. And for you, too, and not because you're just sitting here, too, Loka. Yeah. Like everyone who comes in here with the passion and puts it in, like I see all the stuff that you do on social media and what you're doing during your lunchtime. And, you know, every time I walk by that studio and you got the mix going.
John Fox is the most crunk white guy I know.
The worst.
Like he you get in there, he's just like he's doing the Millie Rock getting me block. And then what's the other one that you liked?
Wobble?
What was that song that you would say to me? Was it Tekashi 6ix9ine? It was like he'll come up with these rap lyrics, and I'm just like, what the? Okay, you know that record.
They
and
come
some
out.
Songs he knows them before I do, and I'm like, what the fudge? It's crazy. But I want since you, he's a PD, he's a this. You know, we are in IRL. This is in real life. We talk about our radio careers. We've talked about portable people meters and stuff. as a PD, give us your role. Like, what is it that you do? I can say what I think you do, and Katie can say, but give us what you do. And then when it comes to this air check life, like, do we really need to do air checks every day now?
Well, here's the thing. If you should be air checking yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. And it really all depends on your style. If
what's
it's in
air check, let them know.
Well, and if it's in real time or not. And air check is really just going back and listening to yourself. It's like a coaching session.
It's super painful.
Yeah, you had a show on the air, you go back and you listen to it, you air check yourself. To sum up your question quickly, it's like really anything that comes out of the speakers is my responsibility. And really now, anything that comes out of the speakers, anything that comes off of the .com, anything that comes out of a social channel that's involved to our property or our brand, I'm responsible for. So, and then really it's about putting the right people in the right places to do things. And what I was going to say prior to us getting into this is what I see the best from Katie and Jesse and even you guys, I think talent learns the most from other talent. You know, I think, you know, the PDs and the coaches and all that stuff, like, we're great in certain ways. But when I really see talent grow, they take some of the stuff that you say, of course, on the sidelines or in the, you know, in the meeting
always
rooms and things like that. But where talent really, really grows is when they challenge each other and when they know they have somebody to lean on, like Jesse or you. And when I know Katie comes to talk to certain people in the building about things or about scenarios, that, in my opinion, when it comes to any other radio group out there too, because, you know, I don't know what everything you guys talk on the show, but some places too, a lot of times, you know, the night guy doesn't talk to the morning person or the midday person doesn't talk to the afternoon person. But that's one cool thing that we have here is that the stations, you know, intermingle, the talent gets along with one another, and those are the special times.
Only when we do the podcast. I can't stand Katie after that.
Well, probably.
Yeah, I hate you.
I only spend time with Katie in their check sessions. But listen, I want to sit in the meeting that Katie's in all the time. I'm like, well, this is great, and that's fantastic, and this is fabulous. But no, I mean, we talk about so many different things. You know, we talk about, you know, really Katie and how she's grown and what she's done and really what she's doing. And really, what we're really working on and what Katie's really just establishing is, what's the story of you? What's the story of Katie Neal in New York when it comes to our radio station and the life that she lives with our listeners and our fans? Because that's what she really does. You know, I mean, from the outside looking in, I mean, that's what it is. And that's what our whole radio station is about. You live it over there. I see it. Mm-hmm. It's, we're all doing this together, whether we're on this side of the microphone or that side of the microphone. And what's great, what you get out of Katie too, is, I mean, the authenticity. I mean, she's a real
country
independent
girl,
woman running through this city, having the time of her life in country music, and I mean, flat out crushing it.
Can we read in the podcast? We love Katie.
You know? No, that's the thing. What did I tell her the other day when we were leaving the Carrie Underwood thing? I was just like, all I said was, why? I said, there's no more Katie party today or Katie parade.
He calls it a Katie parade.
Yeah, the Katie parade. I said, no Katie parade today. I said, but wow. It's impressive, man. It's, listen, it's, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. And there's a lot of pressure. And you guys, I mean, you guys are tremendous. So, I mean, as you can tell, I can sit here and talk away my whole life over here.
Yeah, he's a radio personality.
I used to be on the radio, but, you know, those times have kind of come and gone.
Maybe, you miss it?
Maybe one day somebody will hear this and be like, man, that guy John Fox, he should probably be on the radio one day. No, there's a lot of things that I do miss. There's a lot of things that I love now, just being in programming and being able to focus on that. But listen, being on the air is where it started, man. That's where the love.
What made you fall in love? What made you want to even do radio?
Really, honestly, music fell into my life, and I was just always a music fan, and I DJ'd, and I used to hang out with a bunch of people that wound up introducing me to radio DJs. Then
was
I became
this your goal plan?
No, I mean, I used to work for Metro North and IBM and things like that. No, it was like, go get a job, get pennies, you're good. That's how I grew up, mm-hmm. You know, and then I wound up getting into radio and fell in love. I quit all my jobs. I took the lowest paying job in radio in my life and moved, and I climbed my way through promotions through the entire chain to, you know, being a program director at 95.5 PLJ for quite some time and putting country on here in New York. I worked in Dallas and Colorado.
Where were you originally from? I'm learning so
I'm originally
much
from the Hudson Valley. So born in Yonkers, moved to the Hudson Valley. I got my first start at K104, WSBK. And then from there it was...
What was your first break? Like your first radio break. Like,
oh, my! I'm pretty sure it was the weather and I cursed during it at 3 in the morning. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I used to, when we talked about air checks and all that, and I'm actually air checking myself because I'm saying listen a lot during this whole little podcast. I used to make demo tapes in the production room just to try to get on the radio.
Get out.
I did.
Aww.
That's what I did. So.
And then how'd you end up doing traffic? Was that your, that was your first break? How'd you end
no
up
No weather. It was, no because weather. It was, no. It was what you needed to do in the middle of the night. It's like intro songs do weather. And I think, you know, when my show started, it was like at the end of the hour, something like that. So it was an odd place where we picked up or whatever. And yeah, I just remember like cursing and it was the F word. It was great. It was like 3 a.m.
Oh
though.
God.
And.
But they, but there was there was no fines.
No, I never got in trouble for that. You know, here's another crazy radio story though. I put DMX on the air once when I was in Albany, and this was at like 2 o'clock in the morning or so, and he cursed.
Why were you with DMX at 2 o'clock in the morning?
We were in Lake George at a spot doing something, you know. Because he had a house up there, but that was one of my coolest moments too, is having DMX on the show. And then when his album came out, not too long after that, it was some of the verses that he was saying on the radio wound up being on the album.
Get out.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We got a lot of calls. That one almost cost it for me.
For real, but how is Albany? Like, you know, that's really up there.
Yeah, well, kind of up there. Albany was good. Big party town. Great. You know, it's a pretty big market, too. I think it's still in the 60s. Uh-huh. So it's, you know, in radio terms, it's like a big medium market. Mm. So that's it was good. But yeah, man, I mean, when I say cloudy and the weather was mad, and, listen, Albany was great. It helped mold my career, so I can't knock it, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Hell, I don't know. I almost up for a job in Albany. I was up for a job in Buffalo, New York. And
Buffalo was cold.
Yeah, they all told me there is no money. The crime rate is ridiculous. I don't know about Albany, but I know they said, like, the PD was honest to me. He goes, the crime rate is serious and the snow is going to go up, so you might get seasonal depression. If you're willing to fight all that, I would love to offer you a job. I was like, I'm not sold. Thank you very much.
You're going to be broke and you're going to get stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, at least he was honest, so we got to give him a lot of credit there.
No, I give it to him, but he was going to offer me the job. He was like, I would love you, but I would be wrong if I don't tell you what's going to happen.
That's great, though. Well, at least, you know, that PD's doing the right things there.
Hell yeah. Like, but I was like, but then I hear stories that, I don't know if Albany, is it Buffalo? Is Albany close to Buffalo?
No, I mean, they're hundreds of miles away.
Okay,
but
the Buffalo one, we used to be, their jocks used to go to Toronto and do remotes. And that's one thing that they sold me on. Like, you could go to, you know, we might not have no money and the crime rate's bad here. But this was before, I guess, something happened. But jocks were able to go do remotes in Toronto and get paid more than what they were getting paid in Buffalo. And they would do club gigs there and they could do club gigs in Buffalo.
That's,
I was like,
crazy.
What the hell?
It's like, it's scary here, but Canada's nice.
Yeah, but I'm not going to drive mad far to Toronto.
It's not even that far.
And I don't know how it really works up there, but a buddy of mine, Turk, wound up, who worked for me in Colorado, got a job doing mornings in Canada. Mm-hmm. But they actually even had to go through and to make sure, like, that there was no, like, viable Canadians for the job to actually bring an American in to take a job in Canada. It was quite the process.
Well, it's the same thing if you want to move here and get a job and get a green card if you're from Canada. Remember Lindsay Ellis talked to us about that.
Oh, yeah.
She had to basically prove that no one in America could do the job that she was going to do, being an artist, to get a green card.
Get out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. You don't realize like what people have to go through to just be in this country, which is crazy. But yeah. I mean, it makes, so it's the same both ways, I think.
But I didn't know about making it hard. I think the guy sold it like it was easy. Like everybody was getting bags.
Yeah.
And bags.
All right, I'm going to Canada.
I know.
I gotta go to a meeting at 4 o'clock. That's part of my job too.
All right, bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, enjoy
your
La Loca Katy Parade
for the rest
of IRL.
Yes,
big shout to IRL fans. We love you. Thank you. It was great to be on the show.
And follow John Fox on the Instagram, which is
at John Fox NYC. He was running back to say.
Yes. I got an interview today, too, so I got to head up out of here in a short moment.
Okay. Wait, what's going on in your life? We need a local update.
My mom and dad are on their way here.
They're on their way here right now?
On their way to New York.
Exciting. What are you going to do with them?
They're coming from Tampa, Florida. So I'll be spending a week and a day with them, and I am beyond over the moon. As a matter of fact, I think they'll be on the podcast next week.
Wait, they're coming for a week and a day. That's a long. Are they staying with you?
They're staying with me.
Do you get like crazy by the time that you like that they're gonna be leaving?
Of course, I'm gonna be crazy by the night they get here tonight.
You're like, get out!
I'm gonna be like, oh, when is this gonna end? Love them to death. It took me a while to become. Matter of fact, this is like a pod. This is for another podcast. And I think I've mentioned this before, but our relationship was never the best. Like it was horrible.
Your mom or your dad?
Both of them.
Both, okay.
Both of them. But now we're at a different place in time, and I love them to death, and I can't be without them, and I'm happy that they're coming in. So Tinder's birthday tomorrow. My
happy
parents,
birthday, Tinda.
Thank you. He'll say thank you. but yeah, like it's going to be a crazy week. And I think that's the only thing. I'm just excited to have my mom cook, my mom do the laundry, my mom clean the house, my dad fix the house. Like, I'm going to be the biggest little girl ever, and I can't wait for it.
That is so nice.
I don't even care about anything in this whole, today, like, I'm on cloud nine for them to get here. That's it. I don't care. Like, my interview, I have to get ready for this. I don't know what I'm going to ask. I don't know what I'm going to do. All I know is my mom and dad are coming. So, bitch, hurry this up, because I got to go see them today.
You get in there and you say things like, so tell me how this album is different from the last. How would you say your sound has changed? Which is your favorite song? I mean, which one are you excited to share with fans?
Those are like, I know.
When I don't have shit to ask. That's what I just.
Yeah, I don't. The thing is, I talked to her on Instagram and we'll talk and chat text. So for me, it's like, I know all this stuff.
Does she have a new song or like what does she
have? Yeah, she has a new album.
Oh, a new album. Oh, that's like, yeah, plenty of stuff to talk about.
See, this is where I get messed up. Is VG something. Vivian Green, and then I forgot what the Roman numbers, which I can never get. So I'm just, I'm like, I want my mom and my daddy. That's all I care about. I don't care about nothing else. Even like talking with the podcast, I love today. But you guys know when you love your parents, like your mom, if she was here, you'd be like, girls, I got to go. My mom is coming. And that's all I want my daddy. I FaceTime them. I think they're still in the airport. Hold on.
Are they?
Yeah. And I want you guys to say hi. I want you to say hi. Let's see if she picks up. I think they're, because they had a layover. My brother's so cheap. He didn't buy them a direct flight. So. They had to fly from Tampa to Indianapolis and then Indianapolis all the way over here.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know if they're really even picking up. I don't know if they're in the air. They get here at 7 o'clock. So they might be in the air. And, oh, my God, I have an alert. I have a beauty blogger coming in.
Who?
I can't say that one yet.
But
make sure you pay attention to IRL Radio. Go follow us on Instagram because I will be inviting IRL fans to come over to this one. Because if you are a makeup fan, you're definitely going to want to be here for this one because he's a dope makeup artist. And he has his own highlighter. And if you know who I'm talking about, if you know highlight, you know makeup artist, you'll know who he is. But yeah. He's super
ooh,
dope.
The first IRL exclusive invite.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, it'll be an event that you guys get to come to. But yeah, it's going to be a good time, and I want to make it fun, and I want everybody to start coming out to some of our events if we can. Just make sure that you're following, and we'll post things up there. Oh my God, I forgot to mention. I'm giving away tickets for you to go meet Michelle Obama.
I'm sorry. Back up. What?
Oh, look at my boss. Ken, come here. We had your boss, now my boss, and I thought we weren't going to ever have it.
Ken looks like he's not having
Ken,
it right now.
Ken, come real quick. Say hi. We've had John Fox in here. We had Dave. And now you're my boss, so you join in on the IRL podcast.
Okay.
Hi. Say hi.
Hi.
Oh, my God. It was so funny because I told John. John Fox was like, oh, I'm cooler than Dave. And then I was like, oh, you guys got to meet everybody else's boss, but I don't think you'll meet mine. But now, look at that. Won't he do it? You're in here.
Wait. John Fox said he was cool?
Like, he's the coolest PD.
I know, right?
Shade, and I love it!
Ken is not having it.
Ken, let me tell you something. Ken is, if you look at both their Instagram, let's live off the Instagram. If you look at John, if you look at all three's Instagram, I'm going to say.
Does Dave have Instagram?
I don't think Dave has Instagram.
If you look at all three, Ken has the most on his Instagram. Ken be out there. He be out there more than us.
I'm going to have to follow
at
Ken.
At every concert.
Wait, what does John Fox have on his Instagram?
What does he have? Look at his.
It's John Fox and insert any country music artist.
Okay.
And his dog Harley is a cute dog Harley that's on there too.
Oh, that's cool.
Dog. You got a dog.
Wait, Ken,
too,
what's
right?
your handle? I'm going to follow you now.
LLKENJ, right?
Yes.
Yes. I'm forever in debt with Ken. I think I've mentioned this before. Ken was my. I met him for another job before. I'll go about this story another time. But Ken, how long have you been doing as a PD? Because it'll be a long story and I might get choked up. Go.
Yeah, a long, long time. Longer than I care to announce. But a long time.
And he was a jock as well. Because I think every PD has been a jock.
Yeah, pretty much. But I wouldn't say every. There are probably some that have not been.
It's rare, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
And I mean, listen to Ken's voice. Of course he's been on the radio.
I know. Who was your, like, for Katie, it was Carrie Underwood. For myself, it was Janet Jackson. What was your most epic interview ever?
My most epic interview?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I've had a lot of them, but
one, like mine is Janet right now.
Yeah, that's a hard question because Yeah, it's really hard to. That's like, I mean, I've interviewed so many people. I think Ludacris was cool.
That's not epic.
No,
sorry, sorry, Luda.
Man, I, it might have been Frankie Beverly from
Frankie
Maze.
Beverly
Maze. Yeah, from Frankie Beverly Maze. Probably was the best one.
What was your most, like, I guess for me, Trainwreck had to been, I think Kanye West was mine. What was yours?
My what, my best interview?
Well, no, Trainwreck, like, oh, bitch.
Trainwreck.
What was yours, Ken? Think about
mine
it.
Mine was Esther Roll from Good Times. I know that one.
Yeah.
We were talking. I was doing mornings in Boston, and I was interviewing her. And, you know, we used to feed people. We had, like, somebody brought food up, and she, like, dropped a plate of food in her lap while she was talking. And
oh, no.
She wasn't really answering questions, and it was weird. And I actually, and I will say my epic interview is probably Aaliyah. That was my epic.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's a good
that
one.
That was my epic. Yeah.
She was America's sweetheart in the R&B world.
No,
yeah.
She was very cool.
And did you book that one, or was that the PD at the time?
I was a PD at the time. I was doing the morning show, and I was a PD. So
see, that's is a gift and a curse. Being your own, the PD of your own station, then you're going to book all the epic interviews for your damn self. Did you?
Well, no, but most of them back then about mornings. Yeah, back then, you know, when I was like '90s, it was all about everybody came to mornings. They really rarely brought people to afternoons and middays.
So now, how does that work? Like, is it? It's a free-for-all now, right? They don't care, or they really go for just this and that?
Well, I think in this day and age, I think people have found that mornings aren't just the place. I mean, each day part has a value and brings something to the table. And you know, I don't want to say it's not about the music, but it's not just about the music now. Because, again, no one radio station owns the music. So everybody can play the same country artist, the same urban artist, the same pop artist. So it's what you put in between it is that matters. And so that really has to carry into middays and afternoons to make it compelling. So
damn right. Middays rule. Yes. Now, back in the day in radio, I've heard stories, but you guys were legendary to have ratchetness. Am I right? Like, it used to go down in
the
radio.
It was wild.
Well, when you say that, give me some context. I'm not sure what you mean by
that. Because, like, in my old station in Florida, I used to hear, like, this was my old station during Super Bowl time, but it could be in anyone. They used to have, like, porn star strippers come in and do things in the studio. Okay.
And it was, like, raining money everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everybody was a millionaire.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember
the drugs
that stuff.
Were flowing everywhere.
Well,
drinks everywhere.
You know what? The drugs and all of that was all on the record side. I mean, I've talked to record people who say that, you know, 5 o'clock in L.A., they used to shut it down, close the doors, and there was, you know, coke everywhere and weed and all of that other stuff. I never really heard that on the radio side, but it's ironic. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine from years ago from high school, and I was like, yeah, you would have never wanted to be with me back in the day because radio was just crazy. And even though I didn't participate in a lot of the craziness, but you know, I've been in a strip club or two and been around some loose people and all that.
Make it
so
rain,
it's been
bitch.
Interesting. But, you know, I've never been involved in craziness. I mean, and I've had, you know, I've had record people tell me they've had to go get PDs out of crack houses. And I've had record people tell me they used to give PDs drugs all the time. Yeah, it's just it's ridiculous. And, you know, and I, you know, goody two shoes. I've never done drugs in my life. I've never
crack
been one to be not in control. So that's just not my thing.
All right, because I used to hear stories. At least in Florida, though. I mean,
crazy
here in New
shit.
York, I mean, I used to hear some. At least Wendy says stories. How you doing? But
no, I've never been involved in any of that, and especially on the radio side. Like I said, on the record side, you know, all of that. And but my whole thing was, you're not going to get me on tape doing something stupid that you can hold over my head. That's just not going to happen. So, yeah, it just wasn't my thing. So,
do you think if Instagram was out back then, we would have these jocks that are out now? Do you think they would have been caught up in some ish?
Yeah.
I think camera phones were a thing back then. Probably.
Yeah, I think, if camera phones were a thing back then, it would have been crazy. I think social networks, you know, You know, I think everybody's done something in their life that they're not proud of. You know, I mean, hence this whole thing about, you know, let me tell you something. I went to school in Boston, and some of the parties, you know, there's an actress right now who's been in prominent movies, who was a good friend of mine. It's still actually a friend of mine, but her and her friend, we were at a party and they got drunk and I was like, all right, time for you guys to go. And I took them up to their room and I was getting ready to leave and they just started throwing their clothes off and, and getting in there, you know, they were roommates in college. And I was like, okay. So yeah, it was a little weird. And again, like I said, she's a prominent actress. People know this person if they saw her. So
time to look for the Instagram. See who I know you know.
No, she's not on my Instagram.
Ah, damn. Oh, Kat, you need to come back on our podcast more often. All
Thank
the pieces.
For by.
I think we should have all three of them on one day.
We'll so do
we
like a live all... air check.
Yeah, have a live air check. Yeah, oh my God, in real life.
Dave and John are boring anyway.
Yeah, Ken is cool.
Sure enough, because we got some stuff out of you.
I don't even think John can spell cool, so.
Stop!
We've started a war.
And now they're all going to listen to this podcast and go back and be like, oh, for real? I got you, kid.
Oh, dream on. Ain't nobody listening to this podcast.
No, they are. Ken, I give that to Ken. Does John? Well, yeah, John. Do you think John does? I think John does.
He won't now.
I think so. But Ken does. He likes to know what's happening. And
oh,
if
well,
I'm
thanks,
saying
Ken.
Anything, wreck me.
Leave us a good review. 5 stars.
There
Thank
you. Go.
Thank you.
All righty.
All right. I'll be out of here in a little bit. I got to do this interview. So, okay, mi gente, as we do all the time, affirmation. What do you want to give thanks for?
I am so thankful that I'm going to get on an airplane on Thursday. It's going to take off on time. It's going to arrive on time. Everything is going to go as scheduled, and I will arrive in my hometown on Thursday night at 9:30 p.m. That's what I'm thankful for because I don't ever get on a plane that leaves on time. I just want to end up in Peoria, Illinois on Thursday, and I have a feeling I'll end up in, like, Texas.
No, you are going to make it home on time for whatever event, which is probably a wedding.
Class reunion this weekend.
Oh, that's right. And mine is this weekend, too.
But are you going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Oh, good for
you. It's Saturday.
Saturday, right.
Perth Amboy.
Look at us.
Class of 98. I'm thankful for my new contract, $200,000 for radio, $300,000 for television, my 20 pounds lost. And I don't know anything else, whatever, God, and a great weekend with my family. So God, I thank you. I thank you, Katie, for having a fabulous interview and being
you.
A sweet ass. And Melanie Mel, we love you for getting home safe. We're thankful for that. Que Dios me lo bendiga hoy, mañana y siempre, which means may God bless you today, tomorrow, forever. Juices, I'm out.
See you next Tuesday.